the book of Romans chapter 8. It tells us something we shared with us at the start of the crossover service, that this season we're in, the world is waiting for the manifestation of the children of God, which you are one of them. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1 to 22, the Bible tells us, arise, shine, for your light has come. It's time for you to manifest, and you will manifest. So we're going to go into some declarations right now. Let me bring the declarations on the screen. And you are going to all listen, declare with us these declarations. I was reminded, and even myself, I almost forgot. All right? I call them daily declarations. So right now, everyone, as you're listening, declare with me and declare it out loud. Now let's go say, in the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus.
I arise today and I shine.
Because God is my light and salvation.
I arise because the light of God shines into me and shines through me into every darkness in the world.
In Jesus' name.
I am radiant with the glory, splendor, majesty, and honor of the Lord. The glory and brilliance of the Lord upon me makes me to shine before nations. In the name of Jesus, people come to my light.
And I shine with the glory and brilliance of the Lord.
I create solutions and solve problems on the earth. In the name of Jesus.
To the glory of God, I solve people's problems.
And they bring their gold and silver to me.
To the glory of God.
In the midst of darkness,
my light will always be seen.
And I will always shine.
To the glory of God.
In the name of Jesus,
I am radiant with the glory.
Splendor, majesty, and honor of the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Glory be to God. Today, in the simplicity of the word of the Lord and by the grace and the unction of the Holy Spirit upon me, within me, that gives me understanding, I release these prophetic words into your life in its simplicity. Just receive it. So what are we looking at today? But today's title is, let me just go back and forth and just show you what we're talking about today. Today we are looking at, like Abraham, prepare for the unexpected. I repeat, like Abraham, prepare for the unexpected. Let me say one more time. Like Abraham, prepare for the unexpected. Okay. The Bible tells us about a man called Abraham in the Bible. Now, if you recall, at the start of this month, we've been looking at that theme, expect the unexpected from above. Unexpected means a miracle or a new thing. So when we say expect the unexpected miracle or a new thing from God above. And we have been looking at a man called Abraham. If you recall, God spoke to this man, Abraham. Abraham was from an idolatrous background, and he had to follow his father. They left their country called the Ur of the Chaldees. And the original plan was to go to a place called Canaan. But they got to a place called Haran, and they died. I mean, Abraham's father, Terah, died. He died there because they also settled in Haran. Original destination, Canaan, but they got to a place called Haran, and they settled. And we've been learning there. Look, don't settle for mediocrity. Don't get halfway and settle. It's time for you to arise into your original destiny in God. So, but you can backtrack and listen to these messages. They are all on YouTube. If you go on Love Assembly Liverpool, we have a YouTube channel. Subscribe to it, and you see all these messages. Expect the unexpected. All right? Prepare for the unexpected. All the series. So, and then, and I need to correct this, and thank you very much to those very lovely Bible students who listen to every single word, and they go back home, like the Berean Christians mentioned in Acts, to go and confirm if these things were so. So I was corrected that I said, you know, 2 weeks ago that Abraham's brother, who's also named Haran, died in the place called Haran. No, Abraham's brother died when they were in the of the Chaldees before they got to Haran. His name too was Haran, coincidentally, but he died before they moved. So Terah, Abraham's father, took Abraham's wife, Sarah, and is the son of Haran, Lot. Lot was the son of Haran, who was Abraham's nephew. So if you have a brother and your brother has a son, that son is your nephew. So you get it now. So that's the tie. That's the relationship between Abraham and Lot. So I need to correct that. We see this story in the book of Genesis. So you can confirm that. I think Genesis chapter 12, 13, 14, you know, and so on. So anyway, we've been looking at that, and we learned some great lessons from this series about expecting the unexpected. So let me quickly just give us some things we learned, just to remind us the things we learned. Expect the unexpected. Number one, expect God to remember you. Whoever you are, expect God to remember you. Right? God remembers you, and that's why you are hearing this message. God is the source of all life and eternity, your creator. Number two, expect God to give you what you have forgotten and even stop praying for. Number three, expect God to give you what you did not even pray for because of his own higher purpose for you and others on the earth. There are some things God will give you. You didn't pray for it, but because God has a higher purpose and a plan, not just for you, but through you to others. So God will give you what you didn't even pray for. Number four, expect the glory of God upon you and his light to shine through you in the midst, okay, of all the darkness on the earth. So that's the thing we said. So expect the unexpected. So these are the unexpected things to expect. Expect God to perform miracles in your life, impossible things. Expect God to do something new in your life. Okay. So we said to prepare, be ready to leave all things, walk away from some things. You need to walk away, leave, walk away. Number two, you need to surrender, be fully surrendered to your heart, fully surrender your heart, your life to your creator and your maker. Three, be ready to hear God speak directly to you, no matter how old or young you are. Listen, God speaks to everybody. That's one of the things we learned 2 weeks ago. So even if you don't know God, even if you don't believe in God, be ready. God will speak to you. And I tell you, through the voice you're hearing now, you will hear the voice of the Spirit of God, not just my voice. No matter how old, no matter how young, we saw God spoke to Abraham when he was very old, and we saw God speak to a young boy called Samuel, who didn't even know God at the time God was speaking to both of them. So number four, we said, separate, flee from strife by every means possible. Don't get into strife. Don't get into unnecessary arguments with people. You know, all this rubbish and nonsense going on in the world now, left wing, right wing. Excuse me, you don't need no wing. The only wing you need to be under is the shadow of the everlasting wings of God. Under the shadow of his wings, the psalmist said, I will hide. He preserves me there. Stop all this nonsense. I see Christians today, you know, this is not part of the message, but let me just send this warning, strong warning. I sense it in my spirit to warn people. You know, you're getting onto the left wing, you're getting onto the right wing and going into all the nonsense politicking going on in the world as if that's going to save anybody. You are following, you know, people are just trying to stick on something that is unnecessary. Excuse me, let me say this, and it may sound a bit controversial. I don't mean to be, but I'm just saying the truth, the whole truth as it came to me this morning. To warn people, you know, some people are just trying to protect their prophecy. You prophesied and you want to make the prophecy come to pass so that you don't look bad. Excuse me, what has a prophecy about who becomes the next president or prime minister got to do with preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can we leave all that nonsense of prophesying who the next prime minister or president would be and just stick to the word of God and stick to the more sure word of prophecy and just look at the perfect law of liberty? Because that's written. People is dampening people's faith. I don't know. Jesus said, go into the world, preach the gospel. He didn't say, go into the world and start prophesying who's going to be the next president. Is that going to save anybody? Is that going to bring anybody to salvation? Excuse me. If you like a politician, say you love the politician. Say, I believe he believes in things that's written in the Bible. I'm going to vote for him. But excuse me, leave God out of it. Okay? All right. I finished my ranting. Let's go back to the slide. In the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Okay, we said number four, separate, free from strife by every means possible. Left wing, right wing, just creating strife. Strife, Christians, churches splitting down in the middle because somebody's left wing, somebody's right wing. Nonsense. All right, come on, let's go. All right, thank you, Holy Spirit. Separate from every strife possible. Number five, fully obey God's instruction. It's how to prepare. And number six, fully surrender your heart, your life to your creator, maker God. Seven, trust God all the way in all your ways. Trust the Lord in it with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. So today, like Abraham, prepare for the unexpected. So let's look at Abraham today. Now, if you go to Genesis and chapter 15, there is an interesting story in Genesis and chapter 15. You know, we see an encounter that Abraham had with God. So let me bring up Genesis chapter 15. Maybe I'll read that scripture. Please go back home and check these things out. Always go back home, check these things out. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This word will be very simple. As simple as you showed me, as simple as it is, so will it be. Now, if you look at Genesis chapter 15 from verse 1, and I read, let me read a very simple version, New King James Version of the Bible. The Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. But Abraham said, okay, listen, we need to understand one thing. You can have a conversation with God, a dialogue. One of the things that will help our faith is when we learn to dialogue with God. Prayer is not a one-way monologue. Oh, Lord, I want this. God, give me this. God, I give me this, that, and then amen. In Jesus' name, I believe. No. Dialogue. I speak, God speaks. You speak, God speaks. And at times, thoughts come to us because somebody's asking, how do I know if it's God speaking to me? Listen, through your thoughts, through your conscience, through your mind, God can speak directly to you in a way which you can understand. I'm telling you, that's one of the simplest ways. At times, even people hear audible voices, but it's always good when you're a Christian. You hear a voice, you hear a thought, just line it up with the written word of God. Is there any example in the Bible where this kind of conversation, this kind of word is in the Bible? Because God has a more sure word of prophecy that he left with us is his will, is called his word. The will of a dying man is his word that is put on paper, black and white. That is the will. If you want to know the will of God, you go to the written word of God. Therein is his will. All right, so let's go back as I continue to read Genesis 15. So God comes and speaks to Abraham. Listen, in a vision. In this situation, God showed him a vision. You see, it could be like a dream. You dream, you see something, or you could even be awake and it's like you're seeing things. You know, people can identify what I'm saying. There was a day I just remember I was lying down and I just began to see things about myself and somebody. And I came back to life. So listen, God came to Abraham in a vision and God was speaking. Said, do not be afraid, Abraham, your shield, your exceeding great reward. But Abraham said, conversation, dialogue. Lord God, what will you give me since I go childless? At this point in time, Abraham was very old. He was over 75 years because he was around 75 when he left his father's house when we see Genesis chapter 12. Okay? What will you give me since I go childless? And head of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abraham said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. Conversation, dialogue with God. Learn to be real to God. If you want God to be real to you, you learn to be real with God. You engage God in a conversation. Talk to God and expect God to speak to you. Remember, one of the things we learned, preparing for the unexpected, expect God to speak to you. God speaks to everybody. Listen, do you think God is so mysterious that he doesn't want to communicate with you? God is so wicked that he just throws you on the earth and he just wants you to wander in the earth like a wilderness and just stumble here and there and without any direction. No, God speaks to everyone. Every one of us, God has a way of communicating with you. Even if you are far away from God, far away, no matter how far, God can reach you. Okay? So he begins to continue this conversation. And God, Abraham said to God, verse 3, Genesis chapter 15, look, you've given me no offspring. One in my house is my heir. He had a servant in his house, and that one was born in his house. One of his servants had a child, and he doesn't have a child. And God is saying, look, I'm going to give you a child. But he said, look, you've not given me a child yet. All right? And then verse 4, behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body will be your heir. In other words, no, that servant's child in your house is not the one I'm promising you. You are going to have a child from your own body. Okay? And God went further, took him outside and said, look toward heaven, count the stars, if you're able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendants be. Here God was talking to Abraham. Remember, dialogue, conversation. Now think about it. When God first spoke to Abraham, showed him the vision, and Abraham didn't respond or have a dialogue, then probably he wouldn't have heard the further things God was going to say. It's like somebody wants to talk to you and you walk away. Think about it that way. That's a very physical but spiritual analogy. Someone comes to you and is engaging you in a conversation, talking to you, and you just walk away. Do you think they will continue to talk? They probably won't. And if they continue talking, you won't hear. So that's the way when we come to God, or when God comes to us, be ready for a dialogue. Prayer is a dialogue. It's not a monologue where you just talk. You come for a night vigil, and all you do is talk for 1 hour, and then everybody goes. You come for a prayer meeting, and everybody just talk, scream, shout, bind, kill all the devils, send all the devils from Africa, send them from Germany, send them from Estonia, send them from everywhere. Excuse me? You know, I tell you something. I hear some prayers that people pray. The first thing I want to do is, let me go into the Bible. Is there anywhere in the Bible where this kind of prayer, we are asked to pray? Because the Bible says that it is what God promises us, that that's what God will do. God is not going to do anything he didn't promise. He's not going to do anything he didn't say. So pray all you want. Get all the rhetorics you want. Get all the words. You know, people are so gifted. You know, human beings, come on. Some people are so poetic. They're so gifted. They can rhyme words. When they put these words together and they pray it, they think it's by their oratory prowess that makes God hear. You know, Jesus won't. Don't think by them because you're talking, and the multitude of your words and vain repetition, that's what was going to make God hear you. Jesus wants all these things. Listen, some people are just writing poems and then calling it prayers. I tell you something. Just write a poem, rhyme words, and say, yeah, you know, all the stars from Orion to Oriental, come, God, in the name of Jesus, I command you, come now, by fire, by this, by that. Excuse me, if it's not in the word of God, it ain't going to be answered. Thus, said the Lord, so that you stop getting disappointed and stop ranting that God is not answering prayers. God will only answer, hear, fulfill, bring to pass what he said he will do, because that's what we're seeing right now. So Abraham had this conversation. God spoke, he spoke. God spoke, he spoke. And God now said, okay, come with me. Show them heaven. Look at the stars. Can you count them? That's how many children you're going to have, your descendants. And they're coming from your body. It's not from that child. Listen, when we did a series on faith, what did we learn? Faith is personal, very personal. What has God told you personally? You see, as this message is going on, people are hearing different things, even though it's the same voice, same word you're hearing. But God, the Holy Spirit, is making it more personal to some people. So you listen out, right? Forget about who's talking. This is a human vessel, but listen to the voice of God through these words. So they had a conversation, and God said, that's how many descendants you're going to have. So you can number the stars. Verse 6. And Abraham believed God, and God counted it to him for righteousness. Let me read it from the English Standard Version, Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. The Bible says, and he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Let me read it from the Amplified Version. Please, this is a very simple message. And please just follow today, all right? The Bible says, Genesis 15, 6, Amplified Version, then Abraham believed in, affirmed, trusted in, relied on, remained steadfast to the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness, doing right in regard to God and man. Excuse me, what did Abraham do? That's the question. Remember, like Abraham, prepare for the unexpected. I repeat, like Abraham, prepare for the unexpected. So how did Abraham prepare for this unexpected? What was this unexpected? Remember, it was a miracle. He was old. Sarah, his wife, had passed menopause. They were both old. And God comes to an old man whose body is gone and tells him, through this your body, you are going to impregnate a woman called Sarah whose womb was dead, and you have a son. And even through that son, many descendants. Now, what did Abraham do at this point? The Bible tells us Abraham believed God. Now, I want to focus on believe God today. Abraham believed God. What did he do? He believed God. And the Bible says he was counted to him as doing what was right before God. What did Abraham do? He believed God in his heart. That is the first thing we're going to look at here. Abraham believed God in his heart. Abraham believed God in his heart. Preparing for the unexpected, like Abraham, what do we, you and I, do? We believe God in our hearts. Listen, Abraham believed God. God accepted Abraham's faith, and that faith made him right with God. And it was credited, counted to him for righteousness. That's the way a translation puts it. And we see that confirmation in Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. Abraham simply believed God. What did he do? He didn't work. He didn't do anything. He didn't run helter-skelter. He didn't go make a sacrifice. He didn't go bring a goat. He didn't go for 40 days fasting and do some works. Abraham believed. He believed God. And God justified him. Not because he did something, works, physical, but because he did something in his heart. The question, do you believe God? Do you believe in your heart that God is? Do you believe God exists? If you don't believe God exists, right now, because you've heard this word, can you simply receive this word that God loves you? God cares for you. God made you. And God wants you to believe him because he wants to do so great and mighty, unexpected things in your life. Listen, let me liken to what it means that God credited him, made him a righteous person just because he believed. It is our believing that makes us righteous, not the actions we do. If you don't believe in your heart first, your act is rubbish. Because some people act before their heart actually believes. So they just act out what they don't really believe in their hearts. So you've been going to church, you've been hearing messages, you've been dragged for fellowship, you've been dragged for prayer meetings, but can you pause? Do you really believe God in your heart? In your heart, do you believe God in your heart? Two things Abraham did. He believed God in the heart before the act. My heart must believe before I act. Abraham believed God. What it just simply means is that, you see, under the law in those days, you do things, actions, obey the commandments, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness. Those are works. You can do all those works without you believing in your heart. Abraham believed in his heart what God said. It is believing in our heart that justifies us before God, not our actions. Because if you don't believe and you act, you are deceiving yourself. Because it's what you believe in your heart that will actually propel your actions. So our time, because of our time, I will just run through. There's something Jesus said, as simple as this truth is, this message you're hearing. Jesus said, only believe and you will see. You say, is it that simple? It is that simple. Only believe and you shall see. You know, the Bible captures it in Romans chapter 4, verse 16. It is by faith so that it will be by grace. What does that mean? It is by you believing that releases grace. What is grace? Grace is what divine enablement. Something you can't do physically because you believed. The grace to now do it is released to you just because you believed. That's what Abraham first did. He believed what God said. What did God say? I will give you a child. Through your body? Yes. The body that was dead? Yes. Through Sarah's womb that is dead? Yes. He simply believed. So the moment you believe, then grace is released. The power now for his body to begin to perform, the power for Sarah's body to begin to receive strength, to conceive, to bear a baby in a dead womb is released just by believing. It is of faith so that it will be by grace. Because if it's something you did, then it's no longer grace. What you do does not release the grace of God. It's what you believe that releases the grace, the divine enablement to do the impossible. for God to be able to do the impossible in your life and through you. Do you believe? Abraham believed. I'm emphasizing that. Believed. Do you know why he believed? Simple. He believed just because God said, you are expecting some deep, complicated stuff? No. The only reason he believed is because God said. That is what it means. You know what? The Bible says he didn't consider his own body anymore. He didn't consider the deadness of Sarah's womb anymore. He only believed because God said. So today, you only believe because God said, not because your body is dead, not because your womb. Are you getting me? I share the story of Adeolu's mom at the start. I believe they believed in spite of what her body was telling her. And there was a conception. And mind you, sorry to say this, but mind you, she wasn't a young, she wasn't like she was in her 20s or in her 30s. I'm talking about a woman who was in her 40s when she conceived Adeolu. You know? And on top of that, medical issues. Believe. Once you believe, grace is released. You believe what God said. Your heart before the act. Because when you believe in your heart and you just say, God, I believe. That's all. Jesus said, only believe. We see that in Mark chapter 5. The centurion, they came to tell him, your daughter is dead. Leave the master alone. Jesus said, don't worry. Your daughter is dead. No problem. Only believe and you shall see. As simple as this message is, don't miss this. Only believe. Why? Because God said it. So you and I, we've got to find out what God said. Whatever God has told you, can you see the conversation Abraham had? He settled his doubts with God. God, I'm childless. God, you promised a child. It's not. I'm old now. He acknowledged it. One scripture actually said he acknowledged his body was dead. He acknowledged Sarah's womb was dead. But he believed because God said, whatever God promises, listen to this. This will help your belief. Whatever God promises, God has done it already. Consider it done because God said it. So what's the challenge? It's now for you and I to receive, believe what he said. He's done it. Our challenge is just receive it, believe it, and then we will see it. Glory be to God. I tell you, I said, Lord, I've never seen this before. Romans chapter 4 spells this out. You go and meditate on this and see the story of Abraham. All he did was believing. You see, it's not your action that makes you a righteous person before God. It's your believing God that makes you righteous. God now releases his righteousness on you because every sinner, every ungodly person, what changes them and makes them a righteous person is not what they do or not do, is who they believe. The moment you believe, grace is released. Divine empowerment and enablement is released now for you to accomplish the impossible. Believe. All right, let me round up. What was the second thing Abraham did? And I'll just read what I have here. Okay, let me show you the slide. Simple, I'm rounding up now. Abraham believed God where? In his heart. And God accepted it. That's it. Look at it. Abraham believed in, affirmed, trusted, and relied on, remained steadfast to the Lord. And he counted it credited to him as righteousness, doing right in regard to God and man. If Abraham had done everything, then he could say, I did it because God did it because I did this. No. Okay? Number two, Abraham was not weak in faith. Abraham was not weak in faith. Two things, like Abraham. The first thing, believe God in your heart. Second thing, Abraham was not weak in faith. Okay? Abraham, the Bible says, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham was not weak in faith. Number one, he believed God. Number two, he was not weak in faith. Listen, let me read this. And I will close. I will read it as it came to me and as I was given. So just listen and you can play this message back. All right, listen, let me read it. I've got to round up now. The Bible says, how was Abraham not weak in faith? Though there was no hope that Abraham will have children. Remember the story I told you at the start. Biologically, medically, hope was going. So there was no hope that Abraham will have children. Or when all seemed hopeless, against hope, Abraham believed God, what God promised, and continued hoping. And so he became the father of many nations, as God told him. Abraham, though there was no hope, listen, I'm talking to someone that hope has gone. I'm talking and speaking to that hopeless situation. Confirmed hopeless. Medically confirmed hopeless. Do you believe God? Do you believe his word? That's the first thing God wants you to do. Grace is released upon you. And guess what? Conception takes place. But you can apply this to every sphere of life. Every sphere. Confirmed hopeless. Abraham was almost 100 years old, much past the age for having children. His own body as good as dead, and Sarah's womb was dead, Abraham thought all about this. He considered and acknowledged this. Faith does not ignore facts. Remember when we were talking about faith? Against all logic. Just use your logic to say it is impossible physically, medically, biologically, physiologically, but with God, that which is impossible can only be possible. What God promised is also able to do. Abraham thought about all this. He considered it. He acknowledged it, but his faith in God did not become weak. He never doubted or stopped believing that God would keep his promise. Remember, look, let this settle in your heart. Whatever God promised, God has already done it. Can I tell us something? We are the ones who teach our children unbelief. We are the ones who are taught not to believe, even as little children. Do you know how? The Holy Spirit was showing me this morning. As parents, we promise our children stuff, our children, because that's the way children are. They believe anything. You tell your child you can fly, the child will believe you. Tell your child, I remember I grew up, my dad would tell us then, he has a fridge in his mouth. Because we would see him sipping hot tea, very hot tea, you know? And he told us he can do it because he has a fridge in his mouth. When he drinks it, the fridge in his mouth cools the hot tea. We believed him. I'm telling you. So anytime we bring very hot tea and we want to see daddy do it, daddy will do it. He will drink it. Yeah, but you know, he told us not to try it. Can you see how we teach children unbelief? With every due respect to my dad. But then another thing is, we promise children things. They believe, then you don't do it. Daddy, you promised this. You didn't do it. I'll do it. You don't do it. Slowly, the child starts doubting. And that child comes to know God and sees God like the father who would never fulfill his promise. But God is not like that. He said, Jesus said, you know how to give good gifts to your children? A child will ask for fish, you won't give him a scorpion. Ask for bread, you won't give him stone. How much more your heavenly father will give the Holy Spirit or good things to those who ask. Abraham never doubted or stopped believing that God will keep his promise. He grew stronger in his faith and gave praise. He gave the glory to God. Abraham felt sure. He was fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. You just know one thing. Childlike faith is what Jesus said. Like a child, believe everything your father said. Because what he said, he's already done it. It's just for you and I to receive what he has already done. It is our faith, our believing, trusting in God that makes us right before God, not our trying to work or earn God's promises. If I work for someone, I will demand wages. So I'll say, yeah, I worked for it. But if I didn't work for it, and they just promised and gave, and I believed and they gave it to me, that's what grace is. God bless you. Two things. Like Abraham, believe God in your heart. Like Abraham, don't be weak in faith. What you've believed, know God has done it because God is able to do what he promised. And listen, just give the glory to God. That God, I know this is impossible, but I give you the glory because you will do that which is impossible and take all the glory. Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I just want to give you a minute. Give us all a minute. I don't want to rush this. This is very simple but profound. Can you have a conversation right now? Have a conversation. Have a conversation. Are you doubting anything that God has promised? Remind yourself. Let me just give you a minute. I sense we shouldn't just rush and go away. Again. Oh Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Able to do just what you say you will do. Thank you, Lord. And I pray, as you have spoken to me, as I've spoken to your people, let it be as you confirm your word with signs following. And thank you for bringing a reassurance once again. Lord, it is to your glory, the great gift, the powerful gift you have released even as we enter February. You've released it now, and your people, we are just receiving what you've already done. And I pray our faith will not waver. As we have believed, so be it unto us. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you.